Civic City Joint Water Sanitary Authority Board of Directors Business Meeting will now come to order at 5:01. We are meeting virtually via Microsoft Teams and in person at the Kiwanis Community Center, Faye Jensen Room. The rules of conduct. Here we go. All cell phones, pagers, and other mobile communication devices must be turned off or silenced for the duration of the meeting. All persons in attendance will remain quiet during the course of the meeting unless called upon to comment. Refrain from any behavior that disturbs, disrupts, or otherwise impedes the orderly conduct of the meeting, to include shouting, booing, hissing, etc. Refrain from creating, provoking, or participating in any type of disturbance involving unwelcome physical contact. Be asked to leave the room to conduct side conditions. We don't have any guests here today other than our staff. Who's here, John, on virtually?
Just Rochelle has joined us online.
Okay. So we'll call the roll call. Director Carlton?
Here.
Director Gogus?
Here.
Director Price?
Here.
And Director Strotzka is on vacation and is absent. And I'm the chair, Tom Donahue. Okay, the minutes of February, next item is item 5A, February 13th, 2024, business meeting minutes. Are there any additions or corrections? If not, I'd entertain a, go ahead.
Hearing none, I'll move that we approve the February 13th, 2024 business meeting minutes.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the minutes for February 13th, 2024. All those in favor signify stating aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Nay. Motion carried. Financial report accounts payable for February 15th and February 29th of 2024. Does anybody have any comments?
I do.
Okay.
On page 2 of 6, we had a repair on, was that the repair line there on Resort by the Woods Bridge?
We did have a repair there. Which line item are you referring to?
It's the Coastway construction.
Yes, that was primarily for the assistance that Coastway gave us with that sewer leak on Resort Road. It was a big job. We needed some help with flagging and other things, and Coastway was able to assist us with that.
Was that a real old line?
It turned out it was a service line onto our pressure sewer, and so it didn't look real old, but it had cracked and separated.
So what do you treat a pressure line different than a regular non-pressure?
Well, when it comes to a sewer, it does make a big difference, because what happens with if there's a crack or something in a gravity sewer line, there really isn't much sign of it and not much harm done. But on a pressure sewer line, that sewage is under pressure.
And there's no way to, on a relief on anything like that?
No, we shut down the Woods lift station while we were doing the job just to help prevent the surges that were coming through every time the pumps kicked on.
Right.
But that was about all we could do. Yeah.
What were the blocks for three-quarter area? What's that mean?
That was an area that we had cordoned off for sand and gravel. We've always just kind of put it in a pile, and when we go to get some, we don't really have anything, a good backstop to push it against the filler bucket. So what we did was we took an area of our yard and dedicated it to rock, sand, aggregate.
Yeah.
And what we did was is we made a bay out of ecology blocks, and that is wide enough for the dump truck to dump their load. It stays within the confines of those ecology blocks. And then when we go and pick some of that up with our front end loading backhoe, it's a lot easier to get it scooped up and stuff because you've got something behind it to act as a backstop.
Okay.
What are the sizes of those blocks? Are they pretty big?
Oh yeah, you seen the concrete ecology blocks?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're probably about this long, probably about this tall, and about this wide.
2 by 2 by 6, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
Isn't that like what you got on your wall?
Yeah,
Tom?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And is that how many of those did it take to?
Well, let's see. We got one, two, three, four. I want to say there were at least six of them. I think there were six of them.
They're usually run around $100 a piece, plus labor moving them, trucking them, and all that. So that's.
And not only did we buy them from Coastway, but they set them into place for us.
Yeah.
And that also included a load of gravel as well.
Okay, thank you. So unless there are any other comments about the accounts payable, I entertain a motion. Director Price?
I'll move that we approve the accounts payable for February 15th and February 29th of 2024.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second to accept accounts payable for February. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. For the record, it is 5:08, and we have a guest that arrived, Tim Hirsch from the Sun. Okay, item 6B, our fiscal year 23-24 general ledger. Does anybody have any comments about that? How are we under budget at this time?
I didn't look before the meeting, Tom.
We have 40% remaining in both the operating funds.
Yeah.
So our fiscal year 40% goes to June?
Plus.
It goes to the end of June, so we're in pretty good shape.
We're
certainly on target.
Do you have anything that you're planning on as far as what we can spend? Any projects, expenditures?
Yeah. In fact, I've got one of them coming up here later, which is a paving project. But we've got a number of irons in the fire right now, and I can summarize some of those.
On your manual report?
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Are there any other comments on the general ledger? Okay, we'll move on to the manager's report.
Thank you, Tom. A couple of things. You guys know I've been on a search for how to encourage public participation at our meetings, and was thinking that if we could offer a convenient, reliable way for people to attend remotely from home, then that would be beneficial. We tried a couple of different methods and considered several methods for that. And I just want to say that after thinking about this at length and trying out some things, I've kind of come full circle to where I think the best thing to do is in our public meeting notices is just let them know that a remote attendance option is available. And if they're interested, to call the authority. And we'll send them a meeting invite directly into their email inbox. It's the simplest. I was looking for something a little more high-tech, but I think that this is probably the most reliable way to do it. And keeping things low-tech, we may have some customers who aren't really savvy about video conferencing and stuff. And if we send a meeting invite to people's inbox, just like you all receive them, It's real easy just to click a button and join the meeting. And so that's what I would like to and would propose that we do going forward is just make sure that all our public meeting notifications We'll put in a couple of extra sentences to let people know that that is an available option and how to do that.
So what you're saying, anybody that has an email address or something like that, that you're going to send out a notice?
If they call
and if they call us
and request a meeting invite, we'll send one directly to their inbox.
Could we do anything like that to their emails, people that have an email that's on board with us? Proactively? Yeah.
We potentially could, but the problem with that is it would be a constant chore to try to keep up on homes that were sold. People have new emails. We'd have to pretty much go through it. And also, I don't know how to do that to where I can send out a mass email to 1,500 people and not have people see what other people's emails are and other
right.
things like that.
Now, we're not posting our meetings up at the post office board anymore. The only one I saw up there was the budget or the plan that you had on the 14th.
Or Master what? Plan.
Right. That's the only one I seen up there. I mean, a lot of people look at that board.
Yeah, I think it may have just been something that fell through the cracks in this particular meeting, but we'll make sure that continues to happen because that is normally our intent. Another thing I wanted to mention, April 2nd and 3rd is when our next two lift station upgrades are scheduled to take place. We've actually got a date on the calendar. That'll be Beachy, and that will be Madrona. So everything is, we've got all the parts. We need to shore up those backboards a little bit. In fact, the ones that are made out of wood where the existing electrical panels are mounted, they're in pretty sad shape. So what we're doing is we're putting in, like we did at Kiwanda, two metal galvanized pipe posts, and then we'll be mounting Unistrut, for those who know what that is, and those will be the new backer boards for the control panels. Should last a long time and be much more sturdy than the wood ones that we currently have now that aren't faring really well. And so we're going to be working on getting those in place. Those have to be in place before we install the panel, new panels obviously. So we'll be constructing these immediately behind the ones that are there so that when we pull out the panels, we just have to take out the old wood supports. And then we can mount it directly to a steel support that has posts that are sunk deep in the ground. And we found is you have to sink them deep in the ground in this sand to really get them to be secured. So that's occurring on the 2nd and the 3rd. I did forget to mention in my January manager's report that the bridge pipeline projects have been largely postponed. The flexible expansion joints were 12 weeks out. That would put us into, at the earliest, May. And I just don't think May and or June is a good time to be doing bridge construction work. I think at this point, we'll get the parts and we'll be ready to move on that project this fall, but the couple of the critical parts were just a lot further out than I anticipated they would be.
So who are you looking? I mean, we're gonna have to post that for bid.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
You think we can do it?
And my intent is to break them up. You know, one bridge is one project, another bridge is another project. And I think we're going to do it that way because we want them to be done one at a time. And we also, it's just easier to manage when you've got these jobs, that are in smaller compartments. And I think it's certainly a legitimate thing to do because it's different work at different sites.
Do you think we could get maybe one of those reader boards saying before the project, you know, on this date we're going to be working, you know, like you see on the highways, the reader boards that say close for whatever work or
well,
project.
I think you can rent those, and that's something that we'll consider. I think no matter what traffic will get through, but when these projects are underway, it's only going to be one lane, and we're probably going to have to run some temporary bypass lines over the top of the bridge for water and sewer because we need to break into these lines to install these flexible expansion joints. And this is a seismic type of upgrade. Another part of the job was to replace all the hangers, all the pipe hangers, which are in various states of corrosion and disrepair. We need to get those replaced. There's still a chance that we might be able to do the pipe hangers this spring, but we're running out of spring. So we'll have to see. One thing about those pipe hangers, too, is we have to recondition the holes where the old ones were so that we can reuse the holes, or we have to be really careful about where we drill on that because it's a pre-stressed concrete bridge and we don't want to hit any of those strands. So it's not just, you know, drill a hole wherever you want. It becomes a kind of an engineered job at that point.
Are we working with the county on something like that?
I've already been in contact with the county about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do you plan on getting underneath? Are you going to get a bucket that goes things over?
Well, the contractor will be doing that.
Okay.
Yeah. They'll either have to erect some scaffolding or they'll have to, you know, get a bucket truck that can lower down over the edge of the bridge so that they can get up underneath there and do that work.
Right.
Yeah. So, but that would be contracted out as part of the scope of work. That and traffic control, too, because we'll need some pretty intensive traffic control. And, you know, we do have people that know how to do that, but I think it makes sense for a job like this to make the traffic control part of the contract.
Oh, yeah, because that would tie up, what, two people on each end?
At least, probably more, because we at the slough bridge, we got Fisher coming down right there that we'd have to... Also,
you got to give them a break.
Yeah.
Every couple of, yeah.
For sure. Let's see. Rupel Avenue, starting to see, since the last meeting, we've seen a lot more paving work taking place. I don't think they're done paving. I haven't actually been down there this week. But they have paved all the service line trench cuts. And they're about halfway down as of late last week. They were about halfway down on the water main, the mainline trench cut. So they're not done. They're getting closer. As some of you, I think, recall, there's also a section of the road that has to be fully paved. And that's going to take an asphalt subcontractor. And I haven't heard anything about when that's going to be scheduled, although I do know that it shouldn't be more than another few weeks, I would guess, before the asphalt plants start kicking into gear. Because, you know, we're already into mid-March now. So we should be able to, you know, I don't want to make any predictions, but I think we should be able to reach final completion sometime in the foreseeable future. So
this year,
for sure. The only other thing I wanted to mention, Charles Connett got another certification last month. I believe that makes five that he's gotten in the last year and a half, and he's really working hard at it. And I think it deserves.
So is he a three or a four now?
Well, he's a level two in
water.
He's a level two in water now, and he's also got his level ones on the wastewater side.
That is excellent. Please convey, all of our congratulations.
Thank you and congratulations.
Yes, I we speak for the board on that one.
And it should also be said that the pace and pattern of these certifications comes largely at your direction of making that possible for people. And
well,
we all notice that too.
Well, thank you. And it seems to be working well. I will say that when we started, we had people that worked for us for several years with no certification. Well, they're starting to catch up to their level of experience now.
Yeah.
So these won't come fast and furious the way they are right now. They're starting to reach the pinnacle as far as their years of experience will allow them to obtain. And so you'll start seeing going forward, if somebody gets one additional certification a year, that's about all you can expect now that they've caught up to themselves.
It's nice that we pay for their education, because I couldn't see them doing it on their own and their own money and stuff. It's not affordable for a family to this day and age. It's an awesome benefit for them.
Well, and we're sending something that wasn't done before. We're sending them to certification test prep classes that are targeted certain disciplines and certain levels of certification. So if you want to go after a water treatment level 2, there's a prep class for that, and they've really helped people out. And so they don't have to go home and read a book this thick on their own time.
My brother Tom, he went to 4, and he said each one of them are not easier, and the more you go up, the harder it gets.
And that's the intent.
It's a lot of study time. It really is. So
yeah.
It's great that, as a group that we provide for that. I hope that they understand that.
Oh, they do, and they appreciate it, for sure. And it seems to be effective.
Well, I mean, before, the guys didn't really want to move up.
Well,
there was no really incentive to move on.
So. Which is a good idea. Let's move on. Are you?
I'm done. I'm done.
Oh, you are? Okay. Item 8.
The surplus.
This is just a little bit of information about the other items on the.
Oh, okay. Under unfinished business last month, I introduced resolutions 2402 and 2403. And after comments from the rest of the board and John, we had when we were working on the agenda, we chatted about this too, and I wanted to kind of give the board an update of where we are. And the comments concerning employees and the harassment and other behavior resolution, and also the investigative policy for a complaint, I felt it was necessary, and I got the sense from the board that we wanted to separate that from what those things refer to in the way of the board itself. So I printed out or wrote 2 policies, a harassment and other behavior policy, and a policy for investigative process, that both of these relate to our employees. And the big problem with resolutions is 1703 stated at the end of it that further, which was for board member responsibilities and duties, that it would be new resolutions could be added. Well, that didn't seem like that was going to work well. So what I ended up doing, instead of putting together 2 resolutions directly aimed at the board, because the original 1703 reflected Exhibit A, which is the duties and responsibilities model put forth by the Small Districts Association of Oregon. And that's a good start. And then 1801 was to add to that. But the comments that really caught my eye was we haven't been rescinding old resolutions to make them current. So what I've done with the new resolution relating just to board members, the harassment and other behavior policy and the investigative complaint policy, is to incorporate all of 18.01's precepts into another exhibit. I call it Exhibit B. And then the new harassment and the new investigative policy resolution will go in Exhibit B. Exhibit A will always stay with the resolution, and it will state that in the future, any new policies in relation to the Board of Officers or Board of Directors would be entered into Exhibit B, the old, and direct that the old resolution would be rescinded, and the new resolution that included the new information on Exhibit B would go forth as the working policy. You know, it's easier to see when you see it writing. I'm trying to describe it as best I can.
I'm lost, but I'd like to see the new draft in writing.
Yeah, it's to separate the employees and the board.
And at the last meeting, we discussed moving the employee language policies affecting employees into the employee handbook.
Correct.
And having separate resolutions for affecting board members. So now you're suggesting, if I'm following, that we would go with 1703 and add exhibits?
Well, 1703 always had an exhibit. It had Exhibit A.
So would we add exhibits to 1703?
We're going to add for the future, because Exhibit A was strictly from SDOA.
That's right. Okay, so 1801 is what we will add these issues to.
No, we're going to take the precepts out of 1801 and just put them into an Exhibit B, and it was lengthy, but that related to specific board of directors access and that sort of thing.
Okay.
We're going to take all of 1803. We're going to rescind 1801, and rescind 1703, and have a new resolution that has Exhibit A, which was 1703, and it has an Exhibit B, which included the precepts of 1801, the new harassment, and the new investigative policy is in Exhibit B.
So okay. I think you're...
I look forward to seeing it on paper.
I think your intent is to repurpose those other resolutions into one comprehensive resolution.
And I also spelled out there, you'll see that it is our intent... Anytime there is a new policy relating to board members, this one resolution will cover anything about board members. And Exhibit B incorporates any new board member things outside of what Exhibit A showed.
So we'll be revising, going forward, we could revise Exhibit
Absolutely.
B. And keep the same resolution.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it won't be the same resolution because
the number will be revising and adding language.
Yeah, so like
no, that's true.
Next year it'd be 2506 if we added something.
Okay, so we would still cancel the old one, create
Correct.
A new one with new.
Yeah,
good.
I put that in writing. That's where we got in problem. If you looked how 1703 was written, we were going to have different resolutions for any new, which was 1801. What happened? So you're supposed to add a new resolution. This way we have one resolution and add the new policy to Exhibit B, which seems simpler.
We'll see it
when
you get it to us. Looking forward to it and appreciating all the work.
I'm almost done, and I expect we do have I was talking to John in the employee side of, and I believe it was the investigator policy, where if something, if an employee was found to be at fault, he had, John has the right to, we wrote in the original one, what was it, loss of compensatory
and we
found out you can't do that.
No, you can't so take people's vacation as far as any kind of penalty.
So that's a technicality that we need to make sure we have right.
Yes.
That's right.
There may be several of those to be double checked.
That would be state.
That's state law.
So also in this, when we're doing resolutions, I think we got to remember we need to cancel out the old resolutions,
exactly,
because we've got a heap of new resolutions, and yet we still got a heap of old ones that need, that are really non-existent.
Well, that's why we have a new resolution every year for wages and salaries and rates.
Right.
And the old ones don't vaporize; they remain part of the history of the organization.
That's correct.
We do still have a responsibility to maintain those on file.
We do.
As a record. But it does need to be.
As a historic record. But when we do a new one that rescinds one, then that earlier one is no longer.
So and we need to vote on that to expunge it.
Absolutely.
To pull it.
That's part of the.
That's where I'm at. I'm almost done with it. And then we all need to look and revise it. Most of these concepts have already gone through our HR consultant. But it would still be, my intention is after we finish this, to run it by him again.
Please.
I think that's a practical thing to do.
And I would ask that the response be circulated
right
to the board.
Okay, that's all I have on that. Let's move on to
thank
new
you
business.
Yes, thank you.
Water, wastewater, master plans, adoption. John?
Yes, well, we brought this up at an earlier meeting, and I can't remember which board member it was, but it was a good point that, well, we were always hoping or planning to have a master plan public meeting, hoping for public input, comments, things of that nature, and it was prudent to wait until we had such a meeting before the board formally adopted the master plans. The meeting, as everyone knows, has been had. My question for the board is based on that, at this point, is the board inclined to formally adopt these plans? And is a formal adoption of the plans even necessary? If it is, I just wonder if the time is not right.
I
think it is necessary.
I believe that it is. I'm prepared to make motions.
Before you do, I have a comment. Have we received any comments from the public about the meeting? I know Tim wrote a nice article about our main goals and stuff. Have you, Tim, heard anything from folks about that article? John?
I haven't gotten any comment related to the meeting or the master plans, at least not in the period of time since we had the meeting.
Okay. I was curious. Thank you.
The only comment I've had a couple of people that didn't attend the meeting but did read your article, Tim, and thought that it was a very thorough and comprehensive presentation, and they were glad we are where we are. So.
All right, let's move on. Oh, we got to vote on this. Excuse me.
I'll move to adopt the PCJWSA 2020 to 2040 Water Master Plan.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to accept the, adopt the 2020 Water Master Plan. Are there any other comments? All those in favor signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried.
I'll move that we adopt the PCJWSA 2022 to 2042 Wastewater Master Plan.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second to accept the wastewater master plan of 2022 to 2042. Are there any further questions? All those in favor signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Okay, next item up for bid is the surplus equipment bid for the Detroit portable generator. John, can you kind of preface it?
Well, we've had it posted a long time. If you all have drove by the authority, you've seen it parked out. We did only get one bid for it, and so we'll see what it is.
Okie doke. Ian Spath. He has his phone number here, and the bid is $473.81.
Sold.
I'll move that we accept the bid and convey the property to Mr. Staff.
And a second?
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second to accept the bid by Ian Spath for the surplus Detroit portable generator for $473.81.
I got a question on that. Now, do you write a receipt on that as is?
It's definitely advertised as is.
Okay. But as far as on the receipt and stuff?
I think usually when we do this, we've got a little receipt book and we write something out. I think
we have a published notice that has that language in it.
We do.
This bid is a result of that notice.
Yeah. I think
we've
got it
covered.
That's a
good point, and I think it's covered.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, he just had a phone number there, but.
Yes. We will give him a call tomorrow, and I'm sure he'll be happy to hear the news.
That doesn't have a license on it, plate.
Oh, I think it does.
So that's got to be pulled. Because that'd be a knee plate.
Yeah. I'm trying to, we tow it around, so it's got to have some on there. I guess I've never looked, to be honest with you. But I'm sure it's street legal. I'm sure of it, so.
It get handled like other things.
As long as we pull the plate.
Okay, let's move on to item C, of item 9. Appoint a budget officer for fiscal year 24-25. Normally, Director Price.
I'll move that we appoint Authority Manager John Wesley as the budget officer for fiscal year 24-25.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second to appoint our Authority Manager John Wesley as the budget officer for fiscal year 24-25. Are there any comments? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by stating aye.
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 All those opposed, motion carried. Okay, wastewater treatment plant paving project, item D, John.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. This is one of the projects that we've got in the mix right now. I think everybody remembers when we had the north access road to the wastewater treatment plant paved, which was great because that road was in very poor shape, and it was an improvement that was really needed, and it's really been great. We do have a couple other areas inside our compound, our wastewater treatment plant compound, that are in really bad need of some improvements. Some of these areas were had asphalt applied to them back in the 70s. Some of that asphalt remains. Most of it is just more or less gravel and with a lot of potholes. There's the section of road that we are proposing to pave basically goes from the employee parking area, which is on the west side of the property, and heads north, and then takes that corner in front of our east shop, and will join the paved road that is in good condition, because it's a new paved road that is immediately adjacent to our SBR building. I believe the board packet had a map that showed the proposed areas. This is something that I believe is in dire need of being done. This type of, this puts wear and tear on our vehicles, and it's hard to maintain. So we have put together three bids for this. We have $50,000 in our budget for this paving work. All three quotes came in under that. The quotes were all very similar. I will say that one of them was quite a bit less than the others, but I'm not sure exactly, but he quoted us about 2,000 square feet less of paving work, which I'm not really sure why. I did reach out, and he indicated that he may not have measured as far down on the parking side. But nonetheless, what I did in order to move forward was I estimated the square footage each quote contained, divided the cost by the square footage to get a per square foot price, and I think that illustrates that there are two quotes that were fairly close, within a few cents of each other, but the low bidder was for Geddes Paving. They were also the low bidder on the previous pavement job we talked about earlier. We feel they did a great job. I will say that their quote has some pieces of information in there that I just want to clarify. This is a standard form that they used. There's a section in there that says that all new jobs will be, due to scheduling constraints, will have to be put off until the following year. That's not the case. This is a job that all the contractors knew that needed to be completed by within this fiscal year. And they've all committed to doing that. The only other thing I'll say about the Geddes quote, he quoted us for one load of rock. It's possible it might need two, but he quoted us for one load of rock at $400. I'm still feeling very comfortable that they're the right choice here. They've done work for us before, and they've done a good job, and they are, based on the square foot price, the lowest bidder.
So your recommendation is Geddes?
My recommendation is Geddes.
And they were the lowest bid overall, right?
They were the lowest bid based off of price per square foot.
Yeah, I thought you were recommending someone else.
Well, it says what, 8,000 square feet that you're figuring? Now, on the map here, the proposed area, it's got like 6,382.68, and then the other part is 4,020.85, comes up to 10,403.
Yeah, two of the bidders were within a couple hundred square feet of each other. One bid was 2,000 square feet less than the other two.
Oh, okay. So that's what I was looking at. SC is like 8,000.
Yeah. That's why we're not recommending that.
Okay.
Yeah, well, and to be honest with you, the quote, I didn't like the effort put into the quote the way I felt about the others.
Looks like a generic fill in the blank.
Yeah, and they were the last one to quote, you know, which is not necessarily a problem, but I felt like he rushed it.
So on the map, that pretty well shows it. It connects in where we finished off coming into the parking around and then the front, and then the other part is the employee parking lot and a little bit towards the office.
Yes, and just to let you know, I do hope to do one more fairly small paving job a year from now, which is to finish the parts that we didn't have the budget to do this
year. So will you go along where the sewer part of it? Because isn't there a road right along there or not? Or do you even use that?
We use them all. What we're planning on, and I'll bring up the picture here. So the area that you really can't see, but the area immediately on the north side of the office building is in rough shape too. And so that area we'd like to do. And the other areas, like in the extreme northwest corner and the northeast corner, we're not planning to pave those. We're planning to leave those gravel in those two square areas there. So really, once this job's done, there'll only be the part in front directly north of the office building. And I think it's going to loop a little bit toward the employee parking area, as you can see. But other than that, the other roads that you see, the one going north and south on the right-hand side and in the center, those are good roads. Those roads were paved when the plant was upgraded just a couple years ago. Those roads are fine. It's really the section just to the north of the authority office and up through the employee parking area and up and around this corner where all the traffic always comes in from.
Is that where you come in through the gate? Is that wide enough in front of the sewer part for the swing?
Yeah, no, it is.
So there's no gravel on that side as you come in to swing in?
Well, as you come through the back gate from the paved section outside of the gate, there'll be a small section of a square of gravel here that is immediately north of the SBR building that I don't see any reason to pave.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't get that much travel. But these other areas get a lot of travel. And then there's the section between the two shop buildings. And, you know, it gets some travel, but it's not in bad shape. It's gravel. I think we're okay there. But most of the traffic you see comes in, you know, on these blue and this green highlighted area. And that's where all the wear and tear on the road is.
So the one building that's got all the tanks and stuff, that'll stay gravel? The one on the northwest corner there, the building there?
Yeah, the one on the northwest corner, that area there that is outside of that blue area, I don't see any reason to pave that.
Yeah, because don't you have chemical totes and stuff like that? And if there's a spillage, wouldn't that chew up the asphalt?
Well, we don't really have too much of that over there, but it's just an area that doesn't get a lot of heavy use. And I think paving that area is probably unnecessary, just like I think in the northeast corner, I think it's unnecessary. And then there's a section here that is not meant to be really a road area, which is immediately on the south side of the SBR building. So those areas in those corners, I think, will remain gravel. But this area here that's outlined, that's an area that gets frequent heavy use, and this is the area where we could really benefit by it from some new asphalt.
Okay. So do you want us to approve Geddes as a contractor?
Well, I think that overall, not just, you know, our prior experience with the contractor, and they did done a good job for our past for us in the past, combined with the fact that when you break it down into a cost per square foot, they are the lowest bid as well.
Okay.
I think is a good combination.
All right, Director Price.
I'll move that we award the wastewater treatment plant paving project to Get Us Paving for $47,925 as per their bid.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second to award the wastewater treatment plant paving project to Get Us. Get Us Paving for $47,000 and change there that she just pointed out. So are there any other questions or comments? Hearing none, all those in favor of awarding Get Us the contracts signify by stating aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried.
So it says this price is guaranteed for 30 days, so they'll honor it since the posting date was on the 12th?
Yeah, that won't be any problem.
Okay.
All righty. Let's move on to item E, wage survey proposal. We talked about this, you know, several times over the past few years. I've always been, I think we pay our employees pretty well, and we have a pretty good package for, you know, sick leave and all that sort of thing. But the simple fact remains that there isn't parity between, I'm darn sure there isn't parity between the Valley and other coastal operators like us. So what I was going to suggest to the board is that we hire a consultant, a HR consultant, to make a wage comparison between the coast and the major valley cities, Portland, Salem, and Eugene. And if there is a difference, which I suspect somewhere between 4 and 10%, that we figure out a way to bring our troops up to parity with the valleys. Otherwise, they could leave if they want. The nice thing is their credentials, their professional credentials, are honored anywhere in the state, and that transferable to other states if they so desire. So the opportunity to lose a key employee because of parity with the Valley, I think, is a good possibility. So what's the board think? Should we look at a survey from an HR consultant?
Well, in the past, I think there was phone calls made up and down the coast to find out the wages of the same size. What we'd use, Oceanside, or...
We used to have a chart that laid out, I think. Maybe
I'm not so much interested in the coast parity. I'm interested in the Valley parity.
But they don't have the size of water treatment facility. I mean, it's
their more employees comparable. Have the same credentials as our employees have, and they get paid more. That's my point. I want to know how much.
I don't really think that I want to go out there and pay for somebody to do something of... How much money is it to get a consultant to do this?
I have no idea. What would you think, John?
Well, I think it could be done for probably certainly less than $4,000 or $5,000, I would think.
Well, our HR consultant that does our annual things, that's less than $2,000, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, usually with these wage surveys, well, I guess, you know, I've seen them done by HR departments before. I've also seen them done by consultants that, you know, even kind of more specialized in this type of thing. I will say that my personal opinion is I think that, you know, employers like us should probably do a wage survey every 5 years, 5 to 10 years, just to check the temperature. You know, whether we implement any changes as a result of that is another question. And you know, I know where Tom's coming from on this, in that the Valley could easily attract our talent, and that's something that we don't necessarily want to see happen. it may be too much for us to compete with the Portlands of the world, but it would still be interesting to see how we fare with those, because, you know, we're probably fairly, I'm guessing, I don't know, I would guess we're fairly comparable to a lot of the smaller coastal communities, but if we're going to lose a staff member, they aren't going to leave Pacific City for Tillamook, typically, or Pacific City for Neskowin, or something like that. I would say that we do have one employee that turned in a reciprocity application to me for the state of Alaska. Now, and this is to work, you know, it's like 6 weeks on, 6 weeks off. They pay good money up on the North Slope of Alaska, but there's a reason.
Nobody can compete
there's
with
a
that.
Reason why they do that.
Yeah. Right? Well, he or she wants to go to Alaska. You know, I don't think you're going to stop them.
Well, no. But the point is if you know, there are always places that'll pay more. The question is if we don't really have a good idea where we stand, whether it's between us and a comparably sized coastal community, or just to see what the delta is, compare us to the Salems and you know the communities in the valley. It would probably be good to know. And I do believe that employers like us should do a wage survey like this about every five, certainly within 10, but probably every 5 years is what we should do, just to be sure that we are staying competitive in whatever niche we think that we should fill.
Well, we pretty well much, when Tony and anybody else has brought it up, we've the surveys that, I mean, gosh, you look at our package and the things that we cover, it's an awesome package. You look at Portland, that's unionized. That's a unionized, and how many people, I mean, unless you're young, I can see you wanting to go. You're going to go anyway. I wouldn't want to go to Portland and work.
Yeah.
You look at all the things that we've added, the days, paid days off, you know, the vacation time.
And that all gets factored into this kind of study.
To that. I mean, I think we're right up there with everybody on that. And I think our wages are comparable. I think they're above.
I don't think so.
Well, I can tell you, I mean, my recollection is that we have had difficulty hiring people.
Well, yeah.
And so it's not just whether or not we'll lose people, it's whether or not we can either replace people or get new people for new positions.
That's an excellent point.
And so my personal feeling would be we should be doing a survey every 2 to 3 years. I mean, I think things are changing fast. Yeah. So I'd be all for it. I don't have
a problem. Yeah, I feel like a big part of our difficulty in hiring people was the whole national picture, and that was happening everywhere, but I agree. I think to conduct a study of this type now would be a good idea, because we haven't done it for a long time. I would like to hold out any suggestion of exactly what is included in the study and leave that slate blank until we have a substantive conversation with a consultant that would conduct it, because these are people that do this for a living. They're professionals in it. They've got the background, and as far as I know, none of us at this table have anything like that. So what communities to compare us against, what questions to ask, whatever. I think the design of the thing, we should take the advice of a professional that does this for a living.
The biggest problem is housing. You know,
and that will be factored in. I mean,
well, what I'm thinking here is it looks like we need a little more research. So, would the board direct John to look into this? To see how much it would cost.
I think that'd be perfect.
To us. It might take a couple of meeting agendas to figure this out, but I think it should be something we should be doing.
Yeah, you can come back to us when you have something to share.
I think certainly by the next board meeting, I can come back to the board with a suggested contractor and I can come back to the board and let them know how much it's going to cost us to perform a survey like this.
I would say
it would be smart
to factor in what our coastal communities are doing as well as the valley. And
again, I think we ought to leave that detail to the consultant, because we don't want to be comparing apples and oranges. And
okay.
Those are the kinds of judgments that people that are professionals in those fields.
Okay.
Doesn't our HR consultants that we do have, do they do that?
They probably don't
no,
have
they
that
probably
full expertise.
Don't.
No, but they will know somebody who does.
Yes.
Well, what about SBAO? Because they deal
Let's
with...
Let John take it from here.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that those are that company... Oh, well.
They help us on a lot of things, but... this is a kind of a specialist thing, and so I think you got to, like our HR consultant, like you said, will tell us, point us in the right direction.
Well, and it sounds like we're overdue for one anyway.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Depending on how long this takes, it just might be worth putting some money into the budget as you're developing the budget.
Okay.
You know, this could take into next year, and if it's a $4,000 or $5,000 expenditure, it might be good to
line item.
Yeah, I really have no idea, but we'll find out. But I certainly, by the next board meeting, I can give the board something to make a motion on.
Okay, cool.
Good.
All right, let's move on to guest questions and comments. Tim, you have anything to say?
I'll pass, thanks.
Oh, this is easy. Okay, now we'll go to the next one. Chair director comments. I personally only had one thought, and I just lost it. So I'll let someone else start.
I've got a couple. Are we doing an inventory on our equipment, a yearly inventory?
Well, we always do an inventory every year, and it's. Parts for sure, and equipment as well, and this is all necessary to calculate depreciation and other things that are parts of audits and other types of things
and budgets.
So yeah, we do one every single year.
Okay, and then another, since we do a great job rewarding our employees, I'd like to see a reward for the board, such as bring the barbecue down here and let's flip some burgers or something, and invite the public. You know,
sure.
I don't think we've had an open house for some time.
Well, you know, some employers, and I don't know how the board might feel about this, and you know, we do have to, you know, watch our budgets and stuff, but you know. Some employers have a summer barbecue where the employees come, they invite their families, the board can come, you know, maybe the general public. It's public dollars, so we just got to be careful about how we spend that and not go crazy. But I think that's sometimes a really cool thing, because it gives employees a chance to, you know, meet each other's families, gives employees a chance to interact with each other outside of work, gives the employees a chance to interact with the board members.
The casino has it. They have the summer, they have the dinner. And you know, the neatest thing about that is seeing the kids, how fast they grow.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good idea. Does anybody think that's a good idea?
I'm fine with it. A summer staff party. I don't think there needs to be anything special just for the board, but a summer staff party would be great if anyone's up for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something to think about for sure.
And
yeah,
maybe invite the board. If we can come, we will. Yeah.
We could even potluck it and still have a lot of fun. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let me think on that. If that's something that. I mean, we definitely, you know, want the board to come if they can, but something we'll think about.
Well,
all right.
The only way I was thinking it here at the board meeting, this is the only time that we can be together as a board, is at a meeting. and that I don't know how we get around.
Well, it wouldn't be a meeting, it'd be a picnic.
Well, it'd
right.
be before,
we're not discussing
before
issues.
Or after.
We're not discussing issues.
Right.
Yeah. And that's strictly staff, so. All right, well, let's see, it's 6:05.
Did you think of what you were going to bring up, Tom?
Yes.
Oh, good.
It was to congratulate Mr. Connett on his certification as a personal congratulations. He's really doing well. And me, personally, I appreciate it as the rest of the board. But that was my comment.
Thank you.
Oh, and another thing, I would like to send a thanks for the meeting minutes, a little bit more informative. I appreciate that.
Okay. It is.
Hang on for answering something, I think.
And
I've got two comments to make. One is, while I know it's not on the agenda, we can't have a discussion of this issue, but I'm assuming everyone knows that Senate Bill 1576 regarding recreational immunity has passed, and as far as I know is still awaiting the governor's signature. All indications of media reports are that she will sign it. It's been described as a fix to the recreational immunity issue, and I assume we'll be consulting our attorneys and insurance brokers on how passage of the bill affects our responsibilities on the BLM land and the language on the signs we've posted. So that's one. My second comment is in the March 8th edition of the Pacific City Sun, there was an article on Cape Kiwanda parking lot and Commissioner Olson's comments at a recent Chamber of Commerce meeting. His comments involved were about stormwater runoff, and he mentioned that stormwater runoff was being channeled into the PCJWSA wastewater system. I did not attend the meeting, but if his comments at the meeting were accurately quoted, I wanted to clarify for the record that this is not the case. Wastewater from the public restrooms facilities are, of course, channeled to the wastewater system, but not the stormwater runoff.
That's right. That's a good clarification.
Okay.
I've got one thing I need to say, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
So, never a good time to say this, but I need to announce that I need to resign. I know, I'm sorry. So, it's not so good for the board, of course, but it's a good thing for me. I'm in the process of writing a book, and I'm hitting the go time now. So, I'm super heavy deep into it, and I'm going to start traveling quite a lot starting in May. So, there's really no way for me to continue my duties here. So, I apologize, but yeah, it's
so
time.
Is this your last meeting?
I can. Well, that was one thing I wanted to stay. Yeah, is that, I mean, I can stay through May 1st. If that's helpful and people are into that, I'd be happy to do that. But I start traveling a couple of days later, and I'll be gone pretty much the whole month of May and traveling a lot up until the summer starts. So
you're sorely
yeah,
going to be missed.
This bittersweet news.
Very bittersweet for me. I really have enjoyed my time here, but this is, I'm in go time now. So
what possessed you to just...
I mean, we can talk about this. I don't know if you want to end the meeting, but...
Yeah, why don't we do that? It is 6:09, meeting adjourned.